This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Now with part one of the Morning Ag Show, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you very much, Randy. Your grain futures yesterday, Tuesday, on the Board of Trade had corn lower, soybeans double digits lower, and wheat also lower. Oats were higher. First off, corn again was lower on Tuesday, pressured by commodity funds selling as funds cut the length in front of tomorrow's WASDE report. December corn was down by 2.5, March corn down by 4.25, May corn down by 3.75. Funds were sellers of an estimated 9,000 corn contracts as of the midday. Corn was also negatively impacted on Tuesday by spillover pressure from the lower soybean and wheat markets. This was a never day without any flash sales of corn reported by the USDA as Chinese interest in U.S. corn has faded. Brazilian weather has improved in the past week as beneficial rain has aided the crop in development in central and northern Brazil. The ethanol industry continues to struggle with mostly negative margins as gasoline demand over the past 3 weeks has been 11% less than last year. Tomorrow's weekly ethanol report is expected to show last week's ethanol production down slightly from the previous week, with ethanol inventory higher for the sixth straight week. Analysts are expecting the USDA to keep its projection of Brazil's 2020-2021 corn production steady at 110 million metric tons, but decrease Argentina's production by 1 to 3 million metric tons from its November estimate of 50 million metric tons. On the basis update, Gulf corn was steady to a penny weaker on Tuesday as the export market remains rather quiet. Nearby barge freight was slightly weaker. Interior markets were mostly quiet, although there are some processors, mostly in the eastern part of the state, that are pushing for packages into early next spring and into the early summer. Moving on, your soybean futures were moderately lower, with the January soybean contract down by 12.75. And the March contract down by 11 at 11.51.5, May down 10.25 at 11.53. Commodity fund selling weighed on Tuesday trade as funds sold an estimated 7,000 soybean contracts as of the midday session. Beneficial rain has fallen on central and northern Brazil over the past week and improved soybean crop conditions along with corn. Still, the trade seems to be expecting the USDA to make a small downward revision to its projections for both Brazilian and Argentina 2021 soybean production in the Thursday report. CONAB will also release its monthly crop report early Thursday morning. Chinese buying of U.S. old crop beans has ceased recently as they seemingly have purchased enough U.S. totals to get them to the South American harvest. That could change should adverse weather for the remainder of the growing season there significantly impact the Southern Hemisphere's production. On basis, Gulf beans were steady to slightly weaker on Tuesday. Barge freight has slightly weaker tone as well. Most processor markets were quiet on Tuesday as they work their way through a big December book. So again, to recap your grain futures from yesterday, Tuesday off the Board of Trade, corn for December down by 2.5, 4.17, March corn down by 4.25, 4.19.75, May corn down 3.75 at 4.23, January soybeans down by 12.75 at 11.45.75, March beans down 11.51.5, May beans closed at 11.53, down by 10.25 on Tuesday. Wheat for Chicago, December down 7.5 at 5.63.75, March wheat down 7.5, 5.70, May wheat down by 7.75, 5.73.25. Oats for December gained 5.25 cents, 3.30.25. March oats up by 5.25 as well, 3.23.5. Bean meal for December was down by $4.80 at 3.81.70. And soybean oil for December down 59 cents at 38.28. Now we'll move on and take you to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for yesterday's cash grain report.
This is Tuesday's reported grain price and trend prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois cut grain price were lower on Tuesday afternoon. Technical selling and beneficial rain in South America weighed on grain values today on the Board of Trade. In northern West Illinois, grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 3 to 4 cents lower, 388 to 420. Soybeans were down 12 to 13 cents at 1096 to 1142. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 5 to 6 cents lower, 398 to 4 and a quarter. Soybeans bids were down 13 cents at 1123 to 1151. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were 3 to 4 cents lower at 402 to 441. Soybeans bids were down 12 to 13 cents at 1125 to 1170. Illinois soybean processors' cash soybean bids were 13 cents lower at 1154 to 1166. Basis was steady at 8 over to 20 over the January. High Pro soybean meal on a truck basis offered at $376.90 to $386.90 a ton, down $5.40 a ton, with basis unchanged at option to 10 over the January. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were down 4 cents at $4.15 to $4.45, with basis steady at 5 under to 25 over the March. Illinois River Barcheloni elevated quoted to producer corn bids 1 to 3 cents lower at $4.24 to $4.26. With basis up 1 to 3 at 4 over to 6 over the March. Soybeans ended down 11 to 13 cents at 1140 to 1145, with basis unchanged up to at 6 under to 1 under the January. East St. Louis barge hauling tomato placer producer corn bids 3 cents lower at 447 to 450. These elevators lowered their soybean prices 13 cents, quotations 1171 to 1172. So if we close down 8 cents, Milo ended the day 3 to 4 cents lower at 490 to 492. Contract bids for January delivery corn in the northern part of the state at 388 to 420. Soybeans at 1096 to 1141. In the central part of the state, corn for January delivery at $4 to 438. Soybeans at 1125 to 1162. In the southern part of the state, corn for January delivery at 407 to 448. And soybeans at 1131 to 1178. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Moving on now to your livestock futures report here on this Wednesday morning. Cattle faded into the afternoon Tuesday in the red, and hog markets closed higher on yesterday Tuesday. First off, in your cattle market report, after a failed turnaround Tuesday attempt, fat cattle futures were 10 to 25 cents lower. Feeders were unable to maintain their early session gains, but they did end up 35 to 60 cents higher. January feeders, the exception, was 22 cents lower. The 7th feeder cattle index from Monday was 94 cents lower, 137.34. USDA reported $108 sales in Texas and Kansas on Tuesday. Dress sales in the north remain light, from $168 to $170. On Monday, some cattle exchanged hands at the $106 level. Wholesale box beef prices continued their unwinding through Tuesday, tightening the spread to $19.60. Choice boxes fell by $5.78. Select boxes were $4.06 weaker. USDA estimates that Tuesday's cattle slaughter was 115,000 head. Wheat-to-date slaughter trails the week by 7,000, with 234,000 head through Monday and Tuesday of this week so far. China has taken action to restrict imports from a 6th Australian meatpacking plant as well. Turnaround Tuesday did not recover all of Monday's losses, but futures did end up on the day on the hog markets by 25 to 65 cents higher. December hogs were at 64.55, with four more trading days before the expiration of that contract. Pork cutout futures did close a dime to 45 cents higher on Tuesday. The lean hog index was another 47 cents lower back on last Friday to 65.79. USDA's national average afternoon base hog prices for Tuesday were even unchanged at 55.62. National pork carcass cutout value from the USDA was quoted 22 cents higher Tuesday afternoon to 78.12. The estimated federally inspected hog slaughter for Tuesday alone was 496,000 head after revising Monday by 10,000 head lower. Week-to-date slaughter is 2,000 head below last week and 983,000 head for Monday and Tuesday combined. So let's recap again. Your mixed to mostly lower livestock futures from yesterday Tuesday. Live cattle for December were 15 cents lower at 107.85. February live cattle closed at 110.77, down 25 cents. April live cattle to 114.92, down 22 cents Tuesday. Feeder cattle for January at 137.57, down by 22. March feeders at 138.50, up 35 cents. April feeders at 140.05, up 60. Lean hogs finally for December were at 64.55, up a nickel. February lean hogs 65.60, up 65 cents. April lean hogs at 69.22, up 32 cents. Now we'll move on and take you back to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for yesterday's cash livestock report.
This is the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Tuesday afternoon livestock report. Started in National Daily Direct Hog Report. Calculations for 200-pound park carcasses traded unchanged. In a range of $48 to $57 with a weighted average carcass price of $55.62. From the Illinois Direct Sow Port, slaughter sow price were $1 lower with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds traded 25 to 28. 4 to 5 weighted 27 to 31. 5 to 6 weighted 30 to 35. And over 600 pounds, $34 to $38. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, prices of barrels and gelts country buying points were $1 to $2 lower, with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from $33 to $40. Packer receipts for barrels and gelts totaled $30,778. In the direct cattle trade, the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, choice steers live basis trade at 108, and on adjust basis at 168 to 172. Choice heifers and live basis trade at 108, and on adjust basis at 168 to 170. From the National Daily Pork Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was staged with 422 loads traded. Calculations for 200-pound pork cuts was 78.12, which is 22 cents higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Port, values for choice select beef carcasses were trading lower. Choice carcass 225.02, which is $5.78 lower, while select herd 205.42, which is $4.06 lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated 115,000 compared to 122,000 last week, 124,000 one year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 496,000 compared to 488,000 last week and 490,000 one year ago. That concludes our livestock report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And that's all for part one of the Morning Ag Show, brought to you by Farm Credit Illinois, by Pros Drainage, and by Taylor Tire and Auto of Litchfield. Now with part two of the Morning Ag Show, once again we joined WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thanks again, Randy. Now here in Ag News for your Wednesday morning. It will take at least another week for Congress to pass repeatedly stymied new COVID relief legislation, though top Senate Republicans claim a bill by Christmas is clearly within reach. Lawmakers will extend temporary government funding that expires on this Friday for a single week, giving them more time to work out a partisan difference over agency spending bills and COVID relief. Senate Finance Chairman Chuck Grassley of Iowa says that means any new virus relief that would have been attached to a comprehensive spending bill this Friday must wait one more week.
The broad categories that make it up, we know what it is, but details within each of those categories, there's just no certainty. And that's evidently why we can't get it done this week and need to go over until December the 18th.
$20 billion in new virus relief for ag producers were included in a compromise bill offered by moderates, but Grassley voiced some pessimism since it's not mentioned in broader categories of aid that add up to just over $900 billion. Separately, Grassley boasts one of the legislative wins that will be voted on this week as part of the annual National Defense Bill.
Our part of it aims to curb growing rate of suicide in rural America by implementing a voluntary stress management training program for USDA employees. This would be through the FSA offices in each county, the people that deal with farmers on a fairly regular basis. The idea is to get people to family members or to ministers of a faith or doctors or mental health people to help intervene to save people's lives.
Grassley also points to the high stress on producers from low commodity prices, now somewhat better, as well as disasters and COVID-19. He's co-sponsoring his bill with Montana Democrat John Tester and reminds those experiencing a mental health crisis that they can talk anytime to the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-TALK. U.S. pork exports posted broad-based gains during October, solidifying 2020's record pace. That's according to USDA data compiled by the U.S. Meat Export Federation. Pork exports rose 8% year over year to 242,536 metric ton, with the value also increasing 8% to just over $641 million. Exports to Mexico, Japan, China, Hong Kong, Canada, and the Philippines were substantially higher than a year ago. Shipments to Central and South America were the largest they've been since March. October beef exports were down slightly from last year at 107,591 metric tons, a 0.4% drop. October value was $646 million, down 0.5%. However, exports to China set another new record, and volumes were above year-ago levels to Japan, Taiwan, Central America, and Africa. Quote, while the tight labor situation continues to limit the cut and variety meat specifications available for export, red meat demand is strengthening in many critical markets, according to USMEF President and CEO Dan Hallstrom. The U.S. industry is responding positively to many challenges, and the demand dynamics for red meat are quite strong as we approach the end of the year. Additionally, Hallstrom says when the gains made at the retail level over the past several months are combined with a stronger food service industry recovery, the prospects for export growth are promising. The 2020-2021 U.S. corn crop has entering the market year channel as 2020 comes to a close. The U.S. Grains Council's Corn Harvest Quality Report says the crop has a higher average test weight, lower moisture, and lower total damage relative to each quality factor's average of the previous 5 years' crop. While wet weather in April and May contributed to historic delays in planting and crop maturity in 2019, the 2020 corn crop was planted slightly ahead of the average pace of the previous 5 years and experienced generally favorable conditions during the remainder of the growing season. Quote, that resulted in both high grain quality and yield, the report said. This year's crop showed a higher test weight than the 2019 and 5 year average results. It showed a lower average of broken corn and foreign matter than last year. There was also a lower average total damage than in 2019 and the 5 year average, as well as lower than average moisture content than 2019 in the last 5 years. The crop also showed higher than average protein concentration, lower average stress cracks, and lower average 100 kernel weight. Quote, we offer this report to help buyers make well-informed decisions by providing reliable and timely information about the quality of U.S. corn crops, according to USGC Chairman Jim Rabin. In other ag news, this time again from Washington, the 30th U.S. Secretary of Agriculture now appears to be poised to be nominated as the 32nd, according to numerous reports. Former USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack appears to be President-elect Biden's pick for a second stint at the department, according to several Biden sources. Senate Finance Chair Chuck Grassley reacted to reports of the impending choice of the fellow Iowan early Tuesday.
I like what Vilsack did as Secretary of Agriculture for 8 years, and if he was in for another 4 years, it'd be okay with me. I'd be glad to. If he wants me to speak for him before the Agriculture Committee.
Vilsack, a former Iowa governor and now head of the U.S. Dairy Export Council, campaigned for Biden during the Iowa caucuses. Republican Grassley says he and Vilsack were last together in the state over the summer.
I've always had a good working relationship with Vilsack, and the event I was with him in August was... We had a USMCA event in August in Iowa, and he and I held a news conference together.
Biden also considered Ohio Representative Marcia Fudge for the USDA, but is now poised to nominate her to lead the Department of Housing and Urban Development in a nod to the black community and a House Majority Whip Jim Clyburn. Fudge would have been the first African-American to head the USDA. Her loss in the House may further narrow the, at least temporary, already razor-thin working majority for Speaker Pelosi. Ohio Republican Governor Mike DeWine can call a special election to fill Fudge's slot, but state law there specifies no time frame for doing so. The American Farm Bureau Federation is calling on lawmakers to make a technical correction to the Paycheck Protection Program, Michael Clemens shares how the changes will keep farmers from being taxed for using PPP loans.
The American Farm Bureau Federation recently sent a letter to Congress asking them to ensure farmers won't pay taxes on forgiven Paycheck Protection Program loans. AFBF Senior Congressional Relations Director Pat Wolf says an IRS regulation means small businesses and farms would face a tax burden for using PPP funds.
Congress needs to act, or farmers and ranchers and other small businesses are going to see a big and a surprise tax increase when they file their taxes. When Congress passed PPP loans, they intended for them to be tax-free. The IRS issued regulations to the contrary, and Congress needs to fix it by passing a bill, preferably before the end of the year.
PPP loans were meant to provide tax-free COVID assistance that makes payroll, rent, mortgage interest, or utility expenses paid for using the funds tax-deductible as business expenses.
If you do what the IRS proposes and tax that loan, you've done something that's contrary to what Congress meant, and it takes away money that farmers need to operate their businesses.
With little time remaining in Congress for action, Wolf says the correction needs to be attached to other pending legislation.
It's not likely that there's going to be any freestanding bills moving. So the ask for today is that Congress incorporate this fix into any piece of legislation that's moving. That might be the appropriations bill, that might be a tag-on tax bill, or anything else that's moving.
Michael Clements, Washington.
Now moving on into State of Illinois Ag News, a new apprenticeship program for surveyor and mapping technicians aims to narrow the gap between available technicians and demand. Technicians assist professional land surveyors in collecting information about boundaries, terrain, and property lines. The Illinois Professional Land Surveyors Association, in partnership with Parkland College in Champaign, has created the Surveyor and Mapping Technician Training Program. This first-in-the-country program is a two-year U.S. Department of Labor-recognized apprenticeship program in which apprentices train to become surveyor technicians. Once admitted to the program, apprentices begin a 90-day no-fault probationary period in which the apprentice or the employer can terminate participation without repercussions. Training consists of on-the-job learning blended with online coursework in 13 in-person labs provided by Parkland. Apprentices are expected to take and pass their Certified Survey Technician Level 1 or Level 2 exam in order to complete the program. During the program, apprentices are paid a minimum of $15 an hour. Upon successful completion, the apprentice is guaranteed employment and a minimum salary of $17 an hour. Program graduates also have the option to continue their education and become fully licensed surveyors. All instruction provided by Parkland College may be applied toward a bachelor's degree. Employers who participate in the Surveyor and Mapping Technician Training Program are required to pay the education-related expenses. Employers are eligible to receive tax credit for their expenses through the Illinois Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunities New Apprenticeship Education Expense Tax Credit Program. Employers must apply to the DCEO to be eligible to take part in the tax credit program, which is currently capped at $5 million annually. The Illinois Department of Agriculture has announced the second year of the Fall Covers for Spring Savings program. The program is applicable for acreage here in Illinois planted to a cover crop this fall and will be planted to an insurable crop come spring. Eligible applicants will be receiving a $5 per acre premium discount on this following year's crop insurance invoice for every acre in cover crops that are enrolled and verified within the program. Last year, the inaugural season of the premium discount program, initiated by State Senators Scott Bennett and Senator Andy Menar, resulted in an additional 50,000 acres of cover crops planted within the state. Farmers are encouraged to take this program into consideration when making their fall planting decisions. The discount program is designated to promote several additional acres of cover crops that are not covered by other state or federal incentives. The program opening comes up next Tuesday on the 15th. And precipitation may become a bit more frequent as December rolls on, but freeze notice ag meteorologist Dan Hicks doesn't foresee a very active weather pattern for the weeks ahead.
It doesn't look like an unusually stormy pattern. And it also looks like that even through the 11 to 15 day time frame, that the temperature trend will tend to average above normal in many areas. So we may not have any harsh winter weather coming up here in the short term, maybe a little bit more precipitation than we've seen so far. But, you know, the longer term pattern certainly could turn on us as we get farther into winter. You know, we still have a moderate La Nina in the tropical Pacific, and, you know, winter correlations with that type of weather pattern tend to produce colder than normal winters, especially north of Illinois. The southern part of the country tends to be a little bit warmer. The heaviest precipitation tends to be across the northern U.S. So certainly with that La Nina in place in the Pacific, and it looks like it will stay that way through the wintertime, I certainly would expect that at some point in time, maybe toward later December or beyond, could start to see a little bit more true winter weather, some harsher conditions returning to the upper Midwest and the north central U.S. But at least here in the short term, it doesn't appear to be all that bad. The system coming in this weekend will probably produce some snow and rain mixed in the northern Midwest, some rain farther south, but there's not a lot of cold air to work with. So at least right now, it doesn't appear to be a major winter system, even though it will bring some mixed precipitation to parts of the Midwest.
Mild Pacific air will be the key ingredient impacting Illinois this week, with temperatures reaching into the 50s today and tomorrow for most parts of the state. And that'll wrap up your Ag News here on a Wednesday morning. But remember, you can always send us your Ag News by email at WSMI at WSMIRadio.com. So again, for this Wednesday morning, December 9th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.